said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
That you don't know experiencing this all for the first time, because we're all experiencing this for the first time. We don't know what it's like to have a Super Bowl victory. I mean, in, you know, 2008 you had the World Series, but I still think this is going to be much bigger and go on a much grander scale, because this is a football town first and foremost. Everybody loves the championships. When it comes down to it, the Super Bowl was always the most important one that anyone could hope for.
Game, oh my gosh, it's just a miracle, man. I told my 14-year-old, I said, I'm 41 years old. I've been waiting since I was in the fourth grade for this. This is amazing. It's amazing.
Yep, they are Super Bowl champions. It's not something we've ever been able to say in this city, and people are going to be saying it now for the rest of their lives. It's going to be that where were you moment, you know? Where were you the first time the Eagles won the Super Bowl? Right? People were doing it in 2004. Choose the good old family home. That no matter what, the city was going to burn down, and it doesn't seem like you see much of that, like, rowdy cars flipping, burning stuff down.
Yeah,
like,
it's out there.
I mean, it is a little bit, hey, you know, you're going to have the random fan that's going to be obnoxious, but...
Can't blame anybody, you guys. I mean, the Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
I figure that's a great time to start.
Sportsaholics episode number 154. And again, coming in, that was the
Teddy Bruschi episode, the 54, Teddy Bruschi?
Oh, no, 58. I'm sorry, 58. Oh. I got something. It's the Derek episode. Those, of course, were Philly fans.
Everyone audio. Pour a little out. If you're drinking, if you're doing a sportsaholic drinking game, I'll pour a little bit out for our dead homie DT number 58.
Yeah, I mean,
and by the way, as a good reminder, wear your safety belt, people. Wear your seatbelt.
It was a weird thing. I mean, I saw Derek Thomas three times in the year leading up to his death, just out in public, driving around. One time we were headed to a Royals game.
You so, and DT?
No, it was me and, you know, actually a lot of people that you probably know or at least have met, but stuck in traffic. We look over and we're like, holy, is that Derek Thomas? And then we're like, you know, so then we start playing it up. Derek, we start chanting his name and he looks over, rolls, you know, gives us a nice smile and wave. And then we just lost our shit. And
that's what killed him, by the way.
He died 6 months later.
Yeah, that little event changed time just enough to kill one of your all-time favorite players.
Yeah, what then? So, but clearly, Phillies fans, as you just heard, courtesy of 97.5, the Fanatic in Philly, very happy. It's a lot of, because I listened. As soon as the game was over, I tune into Philly. And I'm like, I want to see, because it's been 52 years.
Sure.
So a ton of like, oh, my dad just died, and like this happened, or my grandpa's still with us, so we watched the game with him.
Right.
A lot of it kind of took me back to not even the World Series as a Royals fan, but the victory in the 2014 wild card game was our World Series. That's how bad the franchise was.
That's adorable.
Having waited so long to just even make the playoffs,
adorable.
30 years, but 52 years.
No, I get. Look, there was. How can I put this? There are certain things that, as a fan, I'm very wary of. In other words, a couple years ago, when the Cubs made their run and finally won. They played the Indians. And trust me, in that playoffs, even though I love my Red Sox, that was one of those, like, there are certain years you're not afraid to take a knee because you don't want any, like, I don't want to be the bad guy. I didn't want to be my Red Sox, my beloved Red Sox. I did not want to be the villains against the lovable Cubs. Like, you just don't want to be, I don't want to be the bad guy.
And it's easy to root against Cleveland. And so, good for Chicago.
Right, but the real point is sort of like, hey man, here's exactly how I'll tell you. Years ago, it was the Patriots went back to back Super Bowls once before and ended up having to play Philly. Now remember that it's like, so it's 2005 when we play the McNabb TO Eagles. Now I had to watch that, guys. If you know Steve Simone, like, I was at Steve Renazzisi's house. It's basically Steve Renazzisi, his now wife, and me and Steve Simone, and we're like watching the game. And this is 2005. So the Patriots had won the last Super Bowl. The Red Sox have miraculously come back in 04. And now the Red Sox are like, so it's like, by the way, December 2004 is probably the happiest time in the New England Boston area ever. Because you have all the championship gear, like Patriots are Super Bowl champs, and they're on their way to repeating. They're well, like, you're in a world championship sandwich where the meat is the Red Sox first win in 86 years. Okay? So it's an amazing time. But of all the things, it's like, I always sort of said, like, and I love Steve Simone, and he's not just a diehard Eagles fan. He literally worked for the organization.
Yep.
So
gave that up to pursue comedy, and right. Great choice, Steve
Simone.
And so
there's a point where it's like, if there was one football game, if there was one Super Bowl or one championship I didn't really need to have, if we'd lost, I was sitting there with Steve Simone, I'd won the last Super Bowl. I'd won the World Series with the Red Sox. And once you, as a Red Sox fan, in 2004, once we had finally won the World Series, like, I had such a euphoria that I suddenly had empathy for every Detroit Lions fan, every Chicago Bear, Cleveland Browns fan, like, every fan base. Like, look, guys, we're sportsaholics. That's what this show's about. We are obsessed with 25 guys that play for the Royals and the 53 guys that play for the Chiefs and the 12 men on the Celtics. You know what I'm saying? You get obsessed with guys who wear the laundry you like. As Seinfeld says, you're rooting for laundry, right?
right.
So, because we could pretend that Brady and Belichick and the Patriots are the same team over the last 18 years, but they're the only two guys that have been in those 8 Super Bowls, right?
It might repeat itself, but
right now, if I could have traded
60 years, I mean,
and so as a Patriots fan, if I could have exchanged, like, if I could exchange any Super Bowl win I have for something else, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't even need the perfect season. It was like I would trade in beating Phillies in 2005. For, like, beating the Giants the second time. Like, I would just...
So you're like, no Manningham catch. I'll take that
Super
Bowl.
Right, I'll take that Super Bowl over... But, so it is one of those things where, you know, there's a certain thing where you just don't... You don't want to be greedy. As it is, it's always annoying that Patriot fans, if there's one thing that really bothers us, is whenever we get compared to the Yankees. Now, in some ways, it's a compliment because you're saying, like, hey, the Yankees are the gold standard of
27 World Series and all the Hall of...
Right,
yeah.
Right. They are the gold standard of their sport. And now the Patriots in the 21st century, you know, I've been to the last 7 AFC championships. No fan base can ask more than what the Patriots have given us.
So it's 8 Super Bowls. How many AFC championships? Let's just start from 2000. I mean, so that's, you're looking at, well, at least 8, so probably 10 to 12.
And then we lost, I mean, we lost
to the Steelers.
We've lost to the Ravens, we lost to the Colts, you know, it's fairly insane.
2 out of every 3 AFC championship games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it is like 2/3, it's like 66%.
At this point, you're finally feeling slightly guilty at this point. With the 8th Super Bowl, you come in and you're like, you know what? At this point, if Brady wins, you got 6. If he loses,
what am I going to be, a glutton? Like, I mean, it's like, look, I wanted to win. Do not get me wrong. Yeah. I wanted to win, and I was invested and involved. But there's also a point like, hey, dude, I'm not even talking about the Grogan Super Bowl or the Parcells Bledsoes. I'm saying, like, in the last 17 years, I've watched my favorite football team play a half a regular season worth of Super Bowls. They've been 8.
And I think, was Belichick, it was like...
You have to put Montana and Bradshaw together to perform to be an eight.
I think it was almost two seasons worth of playoff games for Belichick, to,
yeah,
or three or something like that. Because you figure every year they're playing at least two.
Right.
That's a 36.
They've had like 10 win seasons.
Yeah.
Like for like 12 consecutive years. They have a ridiculous amount of AFC East titles.
Now, speaking of give and take.
Sure.
Malcolm Butler wins you a Super Bowl against the Seahawks in 49. A lot of people are saying Malcolm Butler cost you the Super Bowl in 52. What are your thoughts on
Dude,
that?
Dude, I mean, the guy was literally in tears during the national anthem, and you didn't know yet what was going on, and it's terrible. Dude, trust me, you don't like to, in the great world of coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? And because you go like, hey, this guy is a suit, and it wasn't like he played in 97.8 or 89.7%.
He was definitely a starter. Because I looked it up. Like, dude, was it that big of a deal? And I'm like, two interceptions. And like, he had some good stats. I mean, there was talk that they'd be the franchise guy possibly for the Patriots this year.
And there is a saying that it's like, coaches don't win you games. Players win games. Coaches can only lose you games. And maybe the hoodie just cost us a Super Bowl, but in Bill we trust. Because what else are you going to
do? Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's a proven system.
What am I going to do?
And clearly, like, something that we don't know about, but something had to have happened. Like, he's either violated his last chance, like, he got one more chance.
Right.
Oh, you know, too many times.
I mean, they're saying it's not disciplinary, but, you know, there's some report that he came a day late to Minneapolis. He came a day after, supposedly because of an illness. And I've read another thing that maybe he violated curfew. But, it's like he's saying it's not disciplinary, but, you know, the Patriots don't let you know anything. So, it's a mystery of all time. But that's one of those things, like, I would just like to say, as a sportsaholic, I have never lost a Super Bowl and been this okay with it. Like, and not been just drunkenly mad or yelling at people or, like, it's like, yeah, dude, I'm telling you, it's...
Well, it was entertaining. It was record-breaking.
Right.
The most offensive yards in any game ever in football history, not let alone the playoffs.
And you weirdly still had this chance, even though you were down by eight, like you're down by eight, and you're still throwing to the... He's like, the game ends throwing into the end zone, and if he catches it, then we can make a two-point conversion.
The 110 million people watching all think that the Patriots are still going to win, even though they're down by eight.
Yeah.
With 48 seconds left, it just... And that's what made the game so great is just with the Patriots' reputation of just never dying.
Right.
Like, no lead was safe. And then finally they come back.
And they come back. There's a weird... These New England Patriots, like, they're like Seabiscuit. I mean, it's one of those, like, this is a weird team that has to run from behind. It's like, I watch us, like, we'll score three, and then we go down by seven. And, you know what I mean? If we go down seven, we'll go down 14. It was like the Jaguar game. The other thing is this. Now, guys, and it's like, you really can't understand. I'm not trying to be an asshole, and I know we're massholes, and, you know, Patriots fans are bullshit, or, you know, we seem cocky, but it's like, when it's your eighth one, and the tenth is a franchise, but, I mean, you've seen Brady and Belichick done eight. It's like, we beat the greatest show on turf. We went back-to-back. We've lost a perfect season. We lost to the Giants again. We've had the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, and the only overtime win. It's like, I've won Super Bowls. I've lost Super Bowls. I've won them in amazing comeback fashion, and I've lost them in devastating loss of a perfect season. Like, you guys, seriously, any sports fan out there, you have no idea what it's like to lose that perfect season. As people know, in 2008, I shaved my head after that game.
Well, that's one of the disappointing things about the loss is not seeing you with a shaved head. And your hair is getting long. It is definitely not short.
I wasn't going to I got to be honest with you. I probably wasn't shaving my head either way.
Okay.
I had sort of like...
It has been a little chilly. Yeah, you know.
Well, it was also, you know, I got to go back to New York and whatever, but it's like I'm not going to go with a bald head in February to New York City. That didn't seem smart either way. But
it was a bizarro Super Bowl coming from the Patriots. I mean, you're missing extra points, you're missing field goals.
Dude, trust me, there's a point where it's like it's just a football game. It is literally just like you win games, you lose some. It's a game of inches. It's like, and the nice thing I actually have to say, it's like, hey guys, look, for all the great bitching that everyone did about surviving the ground, it's like, hey man, there were some close calls the refs could have called the other way. Am I going to bitch about it? Am I going to cry about it? Like, no, I'm going to take my... Because I'm very... It's like, hey, I'd like to say congratulations to Joe Matarese and Steve Simone. You know,
Eleanor Kerrigan.
Yeah, all that Philadelphia. No, well, Eleanor Kerrigan's like a Rams fan from Philly,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's yeah. Anyone that grew up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a great thing. There is that, like, you know, you're watching the Super Bowl and there's a 99-year-old Eagles fan there. And on the one hand, you're like, but it's like, there's even a point where I'm like,
dude, you were 36 when the team was founded, you know.
But I was like, I looked at that guy because it wasn't like seeing a 99-year-old Red Sox fan or Chicago White Sox fan who'd never lived to see it. That guy was so old. I'm like, oh, you were there in 1960.
Saw the NFC Championship, but it wasn't the Super Bowl.
The NFL Championship. Yeah, you know, you.
Lamar Hunt hadn't named it the Super Bowl yet, but.
Right. Well, there you go. There's some Kansas City. But, like, you know, you have the Bednarik, like, over Frank Gifford, you know, crushing him kind of thing. It's like, that guy lived to see it. And, hey, man, it's great for Philadelphia. But also, I read, evidently, somebody ate horse shit. Like,
dude,
somebody...
I did want to bring it up. Houston, or Philly, you have taken the victory celebrations to a whole... First of all, you've seen the Hyatt Regency, where the guy does the Eddie Vedder. Feel it, like I'm still alive, like...
Yeah?
Like, just he's hanging? Off, like, no, he climbs up on top of this awning, 20 feet up, and just does the Eddie Vedder back into the crowd. And then, about 10 minutes later, people start climbing up, so you get... I don't know, looks like 30 people on top of this thing. It inevitably collapses. They all fall down. Then the next clip is drunk Philadelphia Eagles fan just on his knees, just picking up pieces of horse shit like they're snow cones and just eats it. Just takes it. Like, you're just like, you're eating horse shit. That's how...
That's your celebrating. But that's,
that's how happy you are.
Well, you know.
You're eating shit right now. Like, yeah. At no point in my life, like, I'm so goddamn happy. Where's some poop? I need to fucking get some like, shit in my mouth
now. You wonder if that was like a bet. Like, if we win, I'll eat horse shit on the ground. Been.
You know what? You're just do that in private, because it looks real bad for Eagles Nation. Like, because now anywhere
you're
you go...
You're talking about the people that booed Santa and threw batteries. I mean,
shit,
you're talking about
eaters,
the first...
Shit. Eaters, so, shit, eaters.
The first
like,
stadium that actually had like a judge in a court, like a courtroom for drunk and disorderly inside the stadium.
Is it their own night court?
Yeah. I mean, so you know, it's like.
But I get it. You guys are. I mean, you know, the usual fires. There was some looting, but in most of the videos, like they went into a Macy's and just. Ripped out the mannequins, but the look on everyone's faces, they have that glazed over, I'm completely blacked out looking at their eyes, everybody, they have no idea, everyone's just following the lead of someone that they don't know that's in front of them. It is just complete chaos, but I loved, because when I woke up this morning, day after the Super Bowl, and I see Steve Simone just landed in Philly, where's the party at? I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Just
it's a great time. And that's also in. It's also one of those things it's actually really nice is it's also like, how can I put this? We won the last one and we won it in the greatest comeback ever over Philadelphia over Atlanta, and you're just going like, hey dude, like I can be happy for all my Philly friends. Cause it's hey man, cause isn't Nick Foles like blood? Isn't Brady like? Isn't that like they're at the beginning of their run? Like, you know, you have a second year coach.
Now they've got a weird quarterback controversy.
Yeah, and
thing.
Welcome to Philadelphia. It's like, you just won a Super Bowl. Like, imagine this.
Bye.
As a Philly fan, it's like, what if Carson Wentz never goes? What if you go
with Dan Marino's it and just like
good? Yeah. Or you just never. It's like, or Foles was the guy that like. Wasn't Foles playing with house money? Like, what did he have to lose? His job?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, it was all upside. But I will say this. One of the nice things about being classy in the loss, like being a good sport, was it also made me go, God, I'm so happy I didn't have to congratulate any Atlanta Falcon fans last year. Like, I was really...
I
feel better about it.
I mean, I still have a bad taste from the Dirty Bird, and that was 20 years ago. Just that. I never liked the Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
Anderson, what the fuck is his? What the hell is?
And then it's and then I'm the New England Patriots, and I'm Tom Brady's going to come back. He's going to be 41. I've been to the last 7 consecutive AFC Championship games, and why not 8 in a row?
And it doesn't, you know, on a national level, the mascot of our country defeating a Patriot, defender of our country. You know, it makes sense. You know,
but it's also like I've also beat them once. So now we can face again and be a rubber match.
It's an All American Super Bowl. It's,
sure.
It was a good one, man.
It was a hell of one. In fact, I think it's rare to find something that had so much. There were trick plays. There was a lot of going for it on fourth down on both sides.
Every quarter full of, you look at the box score, every quarter is just lit up. Like, it's just,
yep. I mean, there was no defense. I mean, if there's a... it was almost like a Pro Bowl. It was like...
Yeah. No, that's what... I figured maybe it was Jason Whitlock. Someone compared it to that. It was like a Pro Bowl with, like, the amount of defense you wish you saw at the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Like, no... Because I don't remember any major injuries last night.
Oh, no. Cooks gets knocked out of the game. That's which right. is a big... Yeah, that was a big change, but what am I gonna... Again, I'm going to cry about it. I also got there without Edelman. You know what I mean? The year before, I got there without Gronkowski.
But it was one of those where, you know, by quarter two...
And the Eagles didn't have Jason Peters or their Pro Bowl MVP caliber.
And kudos to Hogan for stepping up. Because by quarter two, I'm on Wikipedia like, this is the lacrosse guy, right? And I'm just digging up his life story.
That was actually one of the best things. Is you're watching, you know, like they're doing the whole, you know, here are the starters. And they give their college and there's all that, the university of this. And the, you know, all everyone's doing the Ohio State University. And then you get to Chris Hogan, he's like, Penn State lacrosse. And he says that in his thing. You're like, yeah, man. Because somebody did, like, you know, somebody on the Eagles did, City High School.
Yeah, yeah. It took a turn about 6 or 7 years ago. People started dropping their high schools, or they bounce around colleges, or they'd have allegiance.
Typically, it has something to do, like, somebody went out bad in their college experience. And yeah, so they, yeah, yeah. Something happened, like, they get kicked off the team, or...
And then there's the opposite, where some dude last night was like, RU. And I'm like, what is
Rutgers University.
Yeah, because that was the conclusion I came to, but right. I don't want to think about that. For 5, 6, 10, 20 seconds, especially right. when you're the left tackle, because you know,
he was the defensive back.
Yeah,
because
like,
we had a lot of Rutgers guys.
Oh, okay. I didn't even remember which. I just remember RU. Yeah. What the hell is RU? Then I was thinking about Rutgers.
It's like Devin McCourty or something. It's one
that,
of our.
Is that what it is? Rutgers? Just say Rutgers. I feel like
everyone knows what Rutgers is.
Yeah, unless he was done the wrong
way. And Rutgers is actually, because it's New Jersey State School, but it has a name. Rutgers has a name that makes it sound classier than it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it might be a private school.
Right.
Might be, possibly. Rutgers. I was trying to think, who was there? Because they were good in basketball. Ever? Were they ever?
The Rutgers ladies team was the one that Don Imus, it was the nappy-headed hose comment. That was one of those big ones.
That was the original Kramer incident. Or right around the Cosmo Kramer thing. All right, well, let's take a break here real quick before we go. If you guys need a t-shirt printed up, you know where to go. You know where to go. Union Press, KC. .com. They do quick work. They do really good work. And very affordable work. So
How you sidle up close to the microphone.
Well, I just don't want to yell too loud. It's that time of the night where I don't want to be yelling. But Union Press, see? And that I don't want to tap out the mic. UnionPressKC.com. Go check them out. Also, if you are listening on iTunes, go leave a review, a ranking, a star, or whatever. Anything to help us pop up a little bit higher in the Google searches. And if you're in La Jolla, California, San Diego, I don't even care if you're in Oceanside, drive down to Don Carlos Taco Shop, Kitty Catty Corner from the world-famous comedy store in La Jolla on Pearl Street. Great tacos. You can follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, at Eat a Burrito. That's Don Carlos Taco Shop. Go check that out. And we'll be right back.
To talk about spring training.
All night until the next day. Do the diddy if you want to, because then I can see if I want to. Just do the diddy if you want to, because then I can see if I want to. Just do the diddy if you want to. From the top, second verse of the same song, with the conclusion, one should be happy for the day gone. And since the 1 o'clock, I grip G, it's like every rhythm that I see be like, do you remember me? The hustler and the snuggle with my hoes, the Lego, keep them
chuck it like Fredo. So rip and play on my ego. I have a tendency to fuck start off with my own groove and pick up the mic. And all of a sudden I see high moving guesses like magic. And paperboard is the magician. If I was a Viking, might be sucking up competition. Let it ride again and you'll believe I got my own thing. Straight behind my host, so miss me with the tricky soul train. And I'ma break my nose with a show of token.
So all right, we are back. Take a little break and watch some real sports with the ball, the football version of the balls.
Yeah, the St. Brown family. Very good guys. You know, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel doesn't get, it's weirdly underrated. There's always some good shit in that show, man. They do some interesting long pieces.
Yeah.
So you should check out this week's episode about the Olympics. And we're watching the St. Brown family.
Yeah, underfunded athletes and the St. Brown family, which I you know, they're the father whose name is really Brown, but he named his son St. Brown because no one had that before. It was actually pretty much.
By the way, you're gonna be, because it starts out like you think. Oh, they really start like, hey, this is another ball. You know, like the, you know, and like, and it has all the earmarks, but then you're going to be so, and they're going to be so, you're going to be so much more impressed with every member of this family.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. And then we were like, oh shit, we got to finish the episode before we finish.
Still obsessed with sports, you know?
Then I still got to go meet up actually down the street, for you listeners.
At the world famous comedy store.
Austin Evan Wright, previous guest, the owner of Adrenaline Racing in Topeka, is putting together some pretty big drone racing things this summer. Is out here in LA meeting with a few people, so I'm going to meet up with him here in about 30 or 40 minutes down the street and say hi. It's always good when you get, you know, people from the Midwest or in your case East Coast
out
here visiting, especially in the winter, because they're immediately just happy because it's 65, you know. Or so I'm heading to Vegas Thursday. First time meeting up, speaking of Midwest friends, meeting up with a couple of them and then coming back here Friday and Saturday. And I looked and checked. It's supposed to be 83 degrees.
Sounds good.
Like, you guys are in, what do you think about pool? You guys want to go to the pool? day drink at the beach? I'm really going to try to play this up like it's August 10th or something. But
yeah,
we'll see. But that'll be good. I'm debating on, I don't think I'm going to get Vegas drunk, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right.
I think I'm just going to be responsible drunk, which is, you know, every, just pace yourself and mix in waters and plenty of food. No hangover is what was really my goal.
You know, one of the crazier things that I don't think anyone talks about in Vegas is, like, it is now almost impossible to walk the Vegas Strip for any real length of time because you're not allowed to cross the, like, years ago in the 90s when I first went out to Vegas, you know, you could literally walk and cross the street at street level. But there are no actual working crosswalks anymore in Vegas. You always
have to go very few, and you
have to like go up onto these bridges and overpasses that also route you, of course, into the casinos and
tons
hotels.
Of stairs. Yeah,
so they add like a mile to the whole thing.
Just to walk a mile down the strip. You're right. I never really thought about that because you're always darting in. Then inevitably you get lost. You have to backtrack.
You have to run all these little button hooks, and you know you're in Distraction Central. And that's what it's there for. It's like they're making sure you have to walk through the arcades on the boardwalk instead of just like, you can't just walk down the street.
It was supposed to be a mile. Now it's a mile and 3/4 and you're down $30 and you've had 2 beers.
This is like a travel advisory. Guys, if you've never actually been to Vegas and you're going to go and you're going with a group of people, just be real, like keep an eye out on your group and watch for like, somebody's going to flag early and it's Vegas and it's dry and it's hot and like tempers can flare and people can be drunk. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody just starts acting like you're the one who said you want to come to Vegas. And
it's always the guy losing. Just if you lose, handle your shit properly. And by that, like, don't ruin it for everybody else. Like,
and by the way,
lose what you can afford to lose.
If you have a friend or you're the person that has quote-unquote trouble with cigarette smoke, like you just can't handle your shit around cigarette smoke,
yeah, then
dude, don't go to Vegas. Yeah. Don't go to Vegas, because I went once with somebody's sister, and it was like all of a sudden, like, it was their idea. I didn't care about going to Vegas, but they'd never been to Vegas, and all of a sudden it's like this person's getting really tired, and like, and they're being so overly dramatic. Like, oh my God, the smoke! It's a casino, and by the way, they're doing like some of the greatest air filtration,
multi-million-dollar, you know, right? And air streaming.
Yeah, it's like, hey, dude, you wanted to come to Vegas, and now you're getting miffed because there's cigarette smoke in a casino. Like, seriously, dude, get over yourself and suck it up. Like, and dude, bring a bottle of wine. Wilderness hike. It's a long.
Well, here's the thing. Prepare. Like, if you're driving, which us out here on the West Coast have, some of us have the luxury of doing, my first stop out of town, CVS, 24-pack of water. If I'm going to be there for two or 3 days, you know, it's like every time I walk into my room, drink a water. You know, even if, because it's, even if it's, you're not drinking alcohol,
you don't think
it's
hot. You don't think you're camping, but you're camping. You know, there's always survival.
Dude, you're right, because I always bag, I always just buy a huge bag of almonds. Same thing.
Yeah.
Chug of water, like two handfuls of almonds. And, you know, on the other side of losing, winning. Know how to win, because I've been around people before. Look. Here's what, if you win big, and what I, and big for me is, let's just say $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. So if you win $1,000,
sure,
and you're with like two or three people, like take them out to dinner, buy dinner for, spend like $300 on food, and you're like the good guy,
right?
And you still got $700. I've met around people, they win, all of a sudden they disappear, like they're actually using the safe in the hotel
the
room.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. It's like, just like. Never seen $1,000 before? Relax. It's like,
I will tell you one thing, that it was when you play blackjack, guys. Here's a little thing. Just, and by the way, just indulge me. You try it, because you're actually, I think you'll enjoy that. You kind of drive the dealer and pit boss crazy if you do this. Just keep your chips in your hand. Because, like, if you keep your chips in your hand, like, you have a little stack, and it's like, and I'd be winning, and I'd slowly be, these $100 chips would become $500 chips.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you start, like, and the stack starts changing color, and you keep it in your hand, like, the dealer's going, sir, would you like a tray for that? And then the pit boss will go, like, sir, can I get you a tray? It's like, no, I know you want me to put them down. I know you want me to put these down, because then you literally have more of a grasp on what you're winning and losing. They don't want you to have any sense of your own control. So, guys, just if you hold, like, hold your stack, you'd be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, because it's in your possession.
It's in your possession. Like, and so when it starts, like, getting down a little too,
to the money,
but
to
you
the
could
chips.
So, because you could feel, if you know your hand's starting to get smaller, this might be time to change tables, or, oh, hey man, it's not my game tonight, so pull out.
What I used to do, like, if I was gonna go sit down and play with blackjack, I try to stay for 10 hands. So it's, so like $110 table, like $100, right? And that's just so if there's a bad streak, you can come back. But just bet the minimum, and I try to just sit there for a couple hours, enjoy my, like, try to, if you're at a good table, you're meeting funny people, there's high-fiving,
sure,
there's all that good stuff, but
that's what Vegas is for.
But anytime I would double down or split, and, like, those winnings, I would just throw them in my pocket and forget about them. Just the winnings, not,
right,
the, not the original bet, just the, yeah, actual,
right,
profit. And over, after 2 hours, you bust out, you go back in your pocket. 9 times out of 10, you'll have 80, 90, if not more than $100 in,
right,
your pocket. And you're like, oh, that was all free. Free entertainment right there. And then maybe that one time you also win, and then you got the bonus back door.
There's one machine that's always going to make you feel like you win, the ATM, because you always win at the ATM.
That's right.
But really, you lose, okay? I mean, because that money will keep coming flying out. Although it's like, I guess what
the $500 limit is nice. Most banks will throw, well, not all of them, mine does. They're like, all right, relax, you got $500 already.
Just, to all of you listeners who are in your 20s or about to be in your 20s, it's like, I got to say, like, Vegas is a real 20-something thing. And that's where I'm saying you end up, like, because also when you're in your 20s, you have friends and you might have lifelong friends, but you also have a group of people in your life that they just, your coworkers, or, like, you think you're friends, but you're not really. You just happen to be in the same social circle.
Right, you're only in year 24 of life yet.
Right.
So you haven't, like, you know.
I'm going to tell you that in some
ways,
Vegas.
Are you
going to
really know Dave when you're 37?
Vegas is like a survivor island, and you're going to, like, people, or like a lifeboat. You will see in your group what roles everyone takes, what positions, how they handle themselves under stress and sharing
rooms.
You'll
see who really, you'll see about who you care about. Like, oh, we can't find Steve anywhere. I'm like, yeah, well, we gotta leave. Sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah. Plane goes. You know, there are planes every hour. Nice thing about Vegas, there are planes every hour.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And the LA, the round trip, I think it's like $97 or there's $40 flights to. I mean, there's a goddamn television show now just about the flight from Vegas to LA.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a show now. apparently, a hit show according to a commercial I saw. But
sure.
That might have been like the number one most viewed show on Sunday from 7:30 to 8.
Oh, man.
And yeah. The opposite.
Vegas, baby.
Thursday. Yeah, so I got that. But
have a great time, Cheese.
Yeah, I will. You know, we got spring training coming up. I'm thinking about going. I really want to go. I've already got my Royal spring training hat ordered, so that's taken care of. So that'll be coming in the mail hopefully soon. So I'm
Jeez, the wardrobe is there. Guys, if you don't know, I'm a little bit older than Sheezer, and there's a really nice part where I watch Sheezer going through. I guess it's almost like, oh, you're in your collectible phase.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my 30s. It's like, hey, I'm a grown adult, I have money, and I still have the taste of a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. I mean, this comic book collection is fat right here.
But there's also, like, I have a whole, like, dedicated, like, yeah. I mean, this is the, here's being an asshole Patriot Red Sox Boston fan. It's like, I said to Simone and Matarese, hey, dude, congratulations and enjoy every moment. Buy every T-shirt, you know, every tchotchke and souvenir. Like, eat that horse shit. If you're going to eat it, don't nibble. Right? I mean, if you're going to be eating horse shit, Philly, then fucking eat it. Because there's a certain point where, like, look, it's almost like, you know how one of the things they say if you're a parent is, you know, your first kid, like, you have a picture for every fucking minute of their day. And the second kid, like, I mean, there were, like, no pictures of me. My mother felt so guilty that she had no pictures of me. There's, like, a 2-foot life-size portrait of me as, like, a 2-year-old in our... But that's, like, a giant overcompensation pic. Because, like, I'm telling you, I got, like... I have a bookcase that... I mean, one bookcase shelf is, like, half full of everything from 2004 Red Sox. And then it's, like... Then there's, like, a quarter of it is 2007 Red Sox.
Seven, that's right.
And then there's, like... The Time magazine from 2013. You know?
No, when I took the tour of the Giant Stadium last summer, and there were some Red Sox fans, and I love talking, because you guys all, you always know baseball history, because you're such an historic franchise. And they had the 13 World Series, and I was like, oh, 13 World Champs, congratulations. Oh, yeah, it was great, you know, but, you know, same thing, like, you know, it's just nice to be in the winning spirit, you know, it's our third one now, and what...
And we finally won at home. By the way, I just rewatched
3 in 11 years. Yeah.
I rewatched that 2000, like, they were doing a MLB film.
Yeah.
And they were doing some of the World Series. And I, like, just having to catch the 2013 playoffs. It's like, and you remember, like, two games, the Red Sox and the Cardinals, and, like, there's an obstruction at third base. A guy's awarded home, and the Cardinals win, I want to say, game 3 or 4. I think
when the Marlins won in 03?
No. I'm talking about this is in 13. It's like the third baseman obstructs the Cardinal. So he's given home in the game. Like, we lose a game on an obstruction call. And then the next night.
It came back around.
And then a guy gets picked. The game ends on a pickoff at first. It was like. And, you know, that was also the first.
You got revenge on the call. I remember something good happened for you.
But
guys.
Even as it's like, there's a weird thing. I remember the Seahawks Super Bowl when Patriot fans rewatch the Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl, like, the down that last 2 minute stretch, I'm gonna tell you, I've had multiple relatives that I'll go, we sit there and we watch it, like, we win this game. Like, I mean, this all, and bringing it back
you're
to Malcolm
the ball
Butler
bounce
like,
off curses.
Oh
knee,
yeah,
and
you
like,
just like,
everything leading up.
There's
to
a
the...
weird thing where every Patriot fan who rewatches that Super Bowl is almost afraid. It's going to still end the same way, right? Like, if I watch it this time, like, there won't be an expiration date. And Malcolm Butler wasn't allowed to play in the Super Bowl. We don't get to CGI him out of the last two he won, right?
Dude, that's... Marshawn gets the ball, right, and scores easily by just jumping over the pile from the...
And then against the Falcons, it's like, you know, Julio Jones makes what I consider be, I actually think, the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. I mean, the David Tyree catch is more amazing and visual, but, like, Julio Jones catches that toe tapper going out of bounds. Like, it's in the last drive of Falcons.
Didn't Amendola have a ridiculous catch over the middle too?
There were a lot. That was Edelman had that Edelman, crazy. Edelman has Edelman, that crazy, yeah, like, yeah, get it. But yeah.
Either way, yeah.
But I'm also saying, like, there's a weird thing where just only Julio Jones could have gotten it, caught it, and gets his feet in bounds. Yeah. And it's one of those moments where, because also that goes deep, like, they're in field goal territory. Like, they're in field goal territory.
Like, he caught the ball, he's like a ballerina stance. Yes. Like, it's a perfect 90-degree bend right. in his
it's
ankle.
It's like, it's Lynn Swan. Like,
I do remember that, yeah.
And it's like, and that puts him in field goal range, so you're like, and then somehow there's like a holding penalty, like there's an incomplete, a holding penalty, a sack, and it's like they never kick the field goal, and you're like some things just don't happen, you know? Sometimes, by the way, sometimes Nick Foles is going to catch that pass in the end zone, and I have to, as Mike Vrabel, the now new head coach of the Tennessee Titans, you know, he was a linebacker who has caught not one but two touchdowns in two, you know, he's got two Super Bowl TD receptions. Remember, Walter Payton has no touchdowns and played a Super Bowl. There's still a point where I think there's a great moment where Vrabel as the new head coach can say to anybody, Mariota or anybody on his team, hey, you might think I'm just a defensive guy, but I've caught more touchdowns in Super Bowls than you have, bro.
Yeah, though it's they'd run that stupid like.
So Nick Foles having that amazing play is tremendous. You know what I mean? Like that's, and Brady didn't catch it. Same play. It was like,
I didn't know why they were running that play then either. I'm like, it's cute and fun and memorable, but it was a catchable ball. It could have been lower, sure, but
it could have been lots. Yeah. It could have, would have, should have. You know, it's like, didn't we just get Brady'd? I mean, wasn't that the ghost of Patriots past, lovable underdog with a chance, you know, who, you know, they'd never won? Like, I mean, isn't Nick Foles is a, I mean, just go back in time when
I've been on Nick Foles' bandwagon since right. he first signed at Arizona. He was like a big deal coming out of, he was like one of those like top elite 11 quarterbacks.
You know what,
goes
Cheezer,
to Arizona, turns that program
speaking
around.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we had some news about the Chiefs. Alex Smith is gone.
Yeah, Alex is gone. Washington scooped him up. Good for you, Alex Smith. Washington, you'll love it. There's a lot of happy people in Kansas City, but I think people in Kansas, or we'll just say Chiefs fans, they are starting to realize, like, okay, we love this guy, but he is completely unproven. And we don't actually know what he can do, if anything at all. He's got all the talent and the tools, and everyone's saying all the right things as far as his trajectory and his arm strength and his speed and his playmaking abilities and everything that sounds great. And he started week 16. Off the top of my head, maybe like high 200 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. He's more exciting, so everyone's looking forward to the excitement. But does that translate to
Alex
victories?
Smith gets out excited. He got Kaepernicked again. I mean, yeah. That's what's happened. It's like he's the ultimate game managing quarterback. It's like he is completely competent but in no way exciting.
Like, how do you hate someone that throws 26 touchdowns and has like 3 interceptions? And like that's people talk
solid
like,
work.
I'm like, dude, his stats are incredible. He, you know, 4,000 yards. Like, he had this, yeah. He had like, I mean, you can manipulate stats however you want, but at the end of the day, he's like one of 3 or 4 ever
but
to
not,
have the
but
season.
Not flashy,
but not good enough.
But not flashy.
Not flashy.
He's no Drew Brees. He's no Aaron Rodgers. He's not, you know, he's not even looked at like, he wasn't like a Tannehill. Like, Matt Leinart probably should have come out and been the pick that went to, you know, there's a whole different career. If Matt Leinart doesn't stay at USC, it's like he would have been the
doesn't,
draft pick.
Doesn't, like, yeah, do his Pete Carroll. I love Pete Carroll. I'm coming right. back. He's my daddy. I'm going to go get in a hot tub with Jess.
And now you have the Redskins fans, the team from Washington with the racist name. And yeah. They go past the Kirk Cousins.
Yep, adios, Chief Wahoo. Yeah, Kirk, it'll be weird because Foles will be bouncing around.
And we have a quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, Phil Sims had won one and he was your guy, so Hofstadler goes to the Raiders. But Nick Foles is, you know, you're going to go with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, for the same reason the Chiefs fans are excited about, you know, Alex Smith leaving town. It just excites, new, fresh.
Well, I think I would have to make the argument going back to the Super Bowl that there was a point where in some ways, there wasn't enough film on what Foles was doing. He was just new enough. I mean, he
there's that
he had the year of experience, but you're saying they put in a new set of plays that, you know, it's like if you can work against Belichick, Belichick is the ultimate scout. He breaks down film better than anybody. But in some ways, there's not enough what is Foles. There's not enough real history.
There's, bits, especially recent history.
Right.
And then you hear that, like, Peterson goes back and looks at his, what did he have? It was like a 27-2 27 right. touchdowns so he goes and 2 back interceptions. And they dissect that whole.
Right, and they so they bring back some Chip Kelly run-pass options, smart. RPOs. Now we're all calling them RPOs.
I know, dude.
I was like, geez, there's lingo change.
Like, just leave that shit to baseball, football, just stick. You don't have to shorten everything. That's the baseball thing. Like I love baseball and watching MLB Network sometimes. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't even know what that stat is. All right, that concludes. Let's wrap this up. I got to head down the street. Again, congratulations to Dave Wright, last week's guest, our Philly fan, obviously probably drunk right now. Steve Simone, who's in Philly, congratulations.
Say, all you Philly fans, please don't eat any more
don't
horseshit.
Don't eat any more horseshit, please. February 22nd, Gilroy, California, the District Theater. I will be there. Come get some laughs. And
that's the garlic capital of the world.
And then May 9th, I will be at the Mod Gallery in Kansas City, stand-up comedy. Just got that locked in today. And then, if you're listening, the Blue Room Comedy Club, May 10th and 11th, the Friday and Saturday. Of course, you can go to johnishere.com and find out more details about that. You got anything, Eric?
I got nothing. I'm probably going to be in New York trying to figure out some stand-up stuff with my good friend Joe Matarese. Congratulations to all Philadelphia Eagle fans. And to all you other Patriot haters out there, we'll see you next year in the AFC Championship. All right?
Stay obsessed.
Stay obsessed, everybody.
It is time for you to stop on our pursuit. Oh, no.